No plans this weekend? Hit up Slug Magazine's daily calendar and never have another Friday night in.
Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
My name is Clark Radford. I do vocals and I buried the box with your name.
And I'm Kale Morse. I also do vocals and I buried the box with your name.
And then we have Ryan Tuttle and Zach Danzy on guitar. And we have Scott Wazalewski on cello and Sam Whitaker on drums and Cisco Garcia Garza on bass. Nice. I get everyone?
Yeah.
Shit, yeah. I have taken to describing it as wacky post-hardcore, which I guess is kind of loaded and pretentious, but I don't know. It describes it to an extent. If you're familiar with post-hardcore from the 80s and 90s and then its evolution through the 2000s, and we kind of have a wacky spin on it. And I can speak to seeing us as an outside observer. I came into the band a year after it got going. It's a lot of high energy, which I really love. There's a lot of moving pieces, very intricate and emotional. It's something that drew me to wanting to join up with the band eventually. There's a lot of moving around, dancing, yelling, screaming, crying, sometimes all at once. There's a lot going on. People have seen it and come up to me and be like, "What was that?" Like, not like being familiar with rock bands and live shows and stuff, and still being like, "I didn't know what was even happening."
I feel like seven people is a lot.
Yeah,
it's probably very overwhelming, but that's kind of the point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're not doing this to just, you know, be a four-piece, 4/4 garage
band.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we are purposely making it difficult for people.
We actively talk about how we can make parts and songs be, like, harder for people to grasp.
Yeah, that's something that, like, for someone like me, really attracted me to the whole idea. Because, like, I love challenging music.
All right, so when you're talking about this, you're talking about, like, when you say challenging to grasp, do you mean for the people playing or for the people watching?
Both.
I remember, like, just for years seeing Clark at every cool show that happened. Like, he was just that guy that was like, "Oh, Clark will be there tonight. This band's really cool." And so we, like, just started to get to know him over time and went and saw some of his poetry sets and, like, how emotionally moving those were. And I remember one time we played at Kilby Court, probably, like, almost exactly a year after we started playing shows. There was, like, not a single person in the room. Ryan had, like, his wireless guitar pack and Heelys on, was just doing circles around the pole in the center of Kilby Court. We were all just kind of, like, in the whole building. We just took up the whole room because we were like, "Fuck it, no one's here." I remember, like, opening the door to the, like, patio area, just looking at all these metalheads outside, and they all just kind of, like, looked at me. And I'm just, like, mid-line yelling, just staring at them, like, waving. And they didn't make them come inside, which honestly was funnier, I think. But I remember that whole set, just seeing Clark, like, in the window, just dancing his ass off. Like, you could just tell how much he was into it, and it was, like, a really cool moment, first off, because it just showed us that, like, wait, Clark likes our band? Like, Clark only likes the best music. That's a cool sign. Probably not long after that, probably like a week or two maybe, Clark just messaged me and was like, hey, so I know that you used to do the dual vocal thing. Are you trying to still do that? Like, is that still a thing? And I was like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I feel like nobody else would make sense to, like, come in this spot. And I feel like it's worked out better than I could have even imagined, honestly. Like, I feel like it's a cool thing to be able to, like, not have to put a lot of effort into everything all the time and be like, Clark, you write this song, and then comes back with, like, and blows my expectations out of the water, and I didn't have to do work. Hell yeah.
You were gonna make me cry. First time I saw them, I loved it. It was their, like, second or third show. I had booked it. I had known Kale from cool shows and all that. They had mentioned that they had gotten a band going, and I was like, this show needs a band. Let's do this. And I saw them, and it was a lot of energy. And the thing I got most from it is that there's a lot of potential. Like what they're trying to do and almost doing is so cool. And there's no one doing anything like this in the city. When they said it was cool for me to, like, come to a practice, they're like, well, we don't have a show for a month or so it'll be fine, you'll be able to ease in, learn some of this. And then they're like, never mind, we got a show in 2 weeks, learn this 14 minute long song. But I worked it out somehow. I would venture to say that first show, we started with that 14-minute long song.
I think that might have been the first time we played that live in general. So I think all of us were just winging it. It's chill.
Even sometimes just in practice, Ryan or Zach will do something completely different on guitar, and I'll be like, what? But they've pushed me to also be able to roll with what is occurring at the time, sometimes even live, and making it work. For example, there was a show where Ryan shredded his damn chord.
Oh, yeah.
It was at the underground, so he was able to run to the practice space and get another one. But we just stalled.
We literally, like, went into a Biggie song.
Oh, yeah. It was the first thing that came to mind. So I started half rapping Big Papa for a while.
Like, noise and hip hop beat for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, like it was a while. I mean, the room was at the other end of the building, so yeah. Ryan was, you know, sprinting from one side to the other, which I'm sure is like a quarter mile in that maze.
Yeah, and I remember him telling me that Folk Hogan was playing cornhole in the hallway too, as they do, which is sick. Like, love that. But so he was like trying to dodge that as he's running across the building.
Yeah, and there are places where we've kind of written in room for us to mess around, where there's like noisy sections or long extended, I don't know if breakdown's quite the right word for what happens in 1984, but it kind of, but there's a lot of room to mess around and throw ideas out there and test the waters. And something I love about us is, like, I'll throw out just whatever, like, And they've never been, no, do not do that. That's never come up. They've always been like, oh, all right. They're very accepting of whatever. I think we all are accepting of each other's off-the-wall ideas. And they're like, well, if the song's going to be, you know, X level of ridiculous, I'm going to take it here and do just squawking vocals and death growls because the song's wild and we're all pushing it as hard as we can.
Yeah, totally. I think everyone needs to take turns on the weird. Like,
yeah.
You can't. Not everyone can have a crazy idea for every song, so I think it's cool that there's enough of us to, like,
rotate. We just put out an album. It is our first, first I've ever actually really been on a full-length album. And it was a long time coming. We'd been a band for about 5 years leading up to it and finally made it happen. And with all the build-up, and anyway, we want to put on a pretty big, crazy, memorable show regardless, but especially for this. We really wanted to go as big as possible. At least I did, and no one stopped me. So we booked it at the Beehive. We made it a free show. I rented a bounce house and then found out that the dimensions were too large to fit in the room. So I had to get a refund from a bounce house company, which is a ridiculous endeavor. So I ended up just purchasing a smaller bounce house because that was strangely more economical. And so now I just have a bounce. It survived the show, so I just have a bounce house. And yeah, we had an artist there, a tarot card reader, a bunch of friends, bands, Baby Girl, Breakfast in Silence, and Wolf Blitzer, who are three of the best local Salt Lake bands and some of my best friends. We share a practice space with Breakfast in Silence. I've known one of the dudes and Baby Girl for like half my life. And they're incredible musicians. They all did really, really well. And they're all pretty different from each other. And for some of them, it was their first times seeing each other play. And they all, you know, really enjoyed each other's sets. And they're all, while different from each other, are all somewhat related to us in different capacities. Like the weirdness of Baby Girl and some of the songwriting of Breakfast in Silence and the heaviness of Wolf Blitzer. We're sort of all of those things where they're all perhaps more focused on their individual areas of expertise. We maybe wild out on on trying to, you know, shotgun approach scatter everywhere.
There's a lot going on, so it's definitely the kind of album that you have to spend a long time working on. Like, just mixing things when there's that many aspects to everything is, like, not a simple task. And it's hard for us to, like, communicate to engineers, like, okay, I know that you want to do it this way, but, like, no, sorry.
Yeah, we really have to give a shout-out to Nick Karcher.
True.
Who mixed the album, The Grotto.
Yeah.
Is his studio. He, in a lot of ways, I feel like he saved
True.
The album and went through like a year-long process of mixing.
We put Nick through some shit.
Yeah, really, really put him through the ringer. And there's seven of us. Getting seven different opinions is... I can't believe you put up with us.
But even then, like, I would get like one or two small remarks from everybody else about songs on mix notes, and it's like, okay... I'll write three pages of, like, time-stamped out notes for each song for Nick. Cool. And it would, like, each round of mixes took a while because I would, like, think about every second and every instrument in every second. And there were so many layers of everything. But Nick didn't faze him at all. I would send him just pages of notes, and the next day he'd be like, okay, I'll get on that. 5 days later, we'd have a whole new album.
We built up a backlog of songs.
We have so many songs.
Like, I've been in the band for 4 years. I have no idea how many songs my band has. So, we are going to take a stab at how many songs we think we could play live now.
I think 16.
Oh shit, I got 16 too.
Yo.
We're not actually that far away.
Hell yeah.
Did you subtract story song?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I did too. Right, okay.
I half did it first, but yeah.
So, like the 8 album songs.
So the whole album.
Chariots, the Cax, Sam Bede song 2K19, Junk, Spider Noises, 1984, and the T-Rex. Somehow I believe it's... What you are about to hear is a song called Dragon Bones. It's pretty representative of what we do. It's personally one of my favorite songs to play live. We will frequently, if we play it in a set, we'll close with it. If you remember the name of the band, which is I Buried the Box with Your Name, we are pretty easily searchable because of the long, obnoxious band name that we have chosen for ourselves. We are on ibtbyn.bandcamp.com.
Ibtbyn, if you will.
Right. Our next show is at the Beehive on Thursday, 7/11, with Meth and Mouth Breather. They are both touring bands that are fantastic. And local bands Hemwick and Bath, who are both fantastic bands. Hemwick is from Ogden, Bath is from Provo. We're all meeting in Salt Lake. We're going to have a great time.
We only have to drive like 2 minutes. They have to drive like half an hour. It's cool.
If you enjoyed this episode of Slug Soundwaves, please take a moment to rate and review it on iTunes.
Slug's print edition streets the first Friday of every month. Find it any place cool or online. More information available at slugmag.com.